Thank you so much for being with us today, and I am so excited about this message. I have been asked about the book of Revelation in many different ways and at many different times, but I've never been asked, what are the eyes as a flame of fire that you find in Revelation chapter 1? And so our presentation today is entitled, The Eyes of, or As a Flame of Fire. And so we're going to be looking at that, but first I would like to pray with you. So if you don't mind bowing your heads, I would really appreciate it. I'm going to kneel real quick, and if you can't, that's fine, I understand. But let's go ahead and ask a blessing on our time together. Holy Father, we're thankful that you've given us this opportunity to be here together in different places, from different places. We're thanking you that you've blessed us with the opportunity to hear your holy word. And Lord, I do pray that you please not trust me with any words, but we want to hear what it is that you're saying to your people. We thank you for the truths that are found in your word. And this is going to build on something we've already looked at. So I pray that you'd help our minds to be able to put together some of the thoughts that have already been presented in part one of answers to questions on Revelation 1 and also part 2. Give us your grace and help us to have eyes to see what it is and ears to hear what it is that the Spirit is saying to the churches. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to go through a lot of scripture. And if you do want to take notes, that's fine. But if you don't, that's fine too, because I do have notes online. I've been able to put this study up online. Once I get this edited, I'll put the video up with it as well. But the notes are currently at revelationwithdaniel.com. And so if you're interested to find them, you can see them there. It's a similar look to what you see there with eyes as a flame of fire. You'll be able to see that graphic in the blog section of Revelation with Daniel. So we're going to go into verse 1, 14. This is where the question came from. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And so according to the Bible, we see that Jesus had eyes as a flame of fire. Now, it doesn't say that his eyes were a flame of fire. His eyes were as a flame of fire. Now, that means that there's some comparative language going on. In other words, he doesn't have eyes that are on fire. He doesn't have eyes that were fire. He has eyes as they were a flame of fire. Very important to understand, because we need to know that the book of Revelation is symbolic, and not everything, but many, many things in the book are symbolic. And so we'll be able to look a little further at that. So now, as we go back to Revelation, we're going to see in Revelation chapter 2, verse 18, that the Bible says, unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire. It doesn't say his eyes were a flame of fire, but his eyes were like unto. And his feet were like fine brass. Now, I have a question for you. Do you really think that Christ's feet were fine brass? Do you really think that his eyes were fire? No, these are symbols. These are symbols specifically of the sanctuary. Everything in verses 13 through 18, if you go through and read that, you'll understand that the sanctuary language is being used quite a bit to illustrate Christ's character and how God's sanctuary ideal back in the Old Testament was actually explaining the gospel to begin with. Now Christ is actually showing you how those symbols in the sanctuary apply to his life and the activities that he did while he was here on the earth. So we're going to remember in the future this idea of the feet like unto fine brass, because we're going to see that again in another section of the Bible. But we're going to go back to this section here in the Bible where it says Revelation chapter 2, verse 18 and 19, verse 12, both say the same thing. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. Now, I won't read the rest of the verse, because we understand that the focus of this verse is his eyes were as a flame of fire. It doesn't say his eyes were a flame of fire. So as I was saying before, that if there is a section of the Bible that seems to contradict one of the sections that you just read, you can't choose one section as though it's true and cast out the other one as though it's not. You've got to bring them all together, and as a whole, the Bible then makes sense. And so we'll go back now to Revelation chapter 19 and see that something else is said in Revelation chapter 5. Now, I want you to understand something, though, first, is that we saw so far in the book of Revelation three different times where his eyes were as a flame of fire. That's all it says. Now, but there's another time where it talks about his eyes. Watch this. It says in Revelation 5, verse 6, I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb. We know that the lamb is Jesus. It was a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth. Now, these seven eyes, as you see there, it says they are seven spirits. So the seven eyes are the seven spirits of God, and those seven spirits of God are sent forth. Now, you might be interested in going to number one if you haven't seen it before. We talked about the idea of who the seven spirits are in Revelation chapter 1, verse 4. I conclude that those are angels, and you can see many times in the Bible why I would conclude that. And so in that study, I was actually able to present the idea of why I presented that, why it's something that I think is true, that the seven spirits are the seven angels. Well, right here you just read that the seven eyes on the Lamb are the seven spirits of God sent forth. You also know that the book of Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14 says that the angels are ministering spirits sent forth. And so we're going to try to put this together. I've already concluded from my studies that the angels and the seven spirits and even the flames of fire have a lot to do with each other. So let's continue on as we seek and search this out. Notice what it says in Zechariah chapter 3, because when you search seven eyes, you don't find many times that it comes up. But you do find in Zechariah 3 verse 9, behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua. Now, we know a stone is a rock, and we know that Jesus is the rock. We know that he is the stone of stumbling and the rock of offense, as it says in Romans. So, behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be how many eyes? Seven eyes. So just like the lamb in Revelation chapter 5, we have here, this stone has seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. Now we're going to skip to Zechariah 4 verse 10, where it says, who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. Now the plummet is made for being able to see if the walls are straight, being able to level or judge the walls based on the foundation. And so they shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. What seven? The only seven that the book of Zechariah has talked about so far are the seven eyes. So Zerubbabel will be with the plummet in his hand, and it'll be with those seven. Now, what are these? They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. So I have a question for you. These seven, which are on the stone, which are also on the lamb, and the lamb and the stone both represent Jesus, these are the seven eyes which run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Now, do you really think that Jesus has eyes that actually dismember themselves from his head and come around to the earth to view all things on the earth? Of course not. And so this is symbolic. We have symbology here that's helping us trying to understand that the number seven, for one, is completion, the completeness of something. And so Christ can see all things as the stone, as the lamb. But the question is how? So what we have is these seven spirits that are sent forth into all the earth. Now, notice what it said, though. It says that they go to and fro through the whole earth. We're going to look up that phrase in just a minute. But let's go to 4 verse 10 now, 11 now. Then answered I and said unto him, this is Zechariah speaking to the angel, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? That's really interesting that when Zechariah asked this question to the angel did not give a response. We find out later what those two trees are. But when Zechariah asked directly about those trees, the angel didn't answer. But let's see what happens in the next verse. It says in verse 12, I answered again and said unto him, what be these two olive branches, so part of the tree, which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord, what are these? Then he said, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Okay, so in the chapter where it's talking about the seven eyes that are with Zerubbabel and the plummet, or the plummet, and when you see that those seven eyes are on the stone in the previous chapter, when you see that the angels are involved right there in the book of Zechariah, chapter 4, as being described as they're the ones that are standing before the Lord that go to and fro throughout the whole earth, you realize like the angels are really involved. And by the way, the angels are the ones that are the trees, but they're the branches that through the golden pipes pour from themselves the golden oil. If you've never read that phrase golden oil in a book called Christ Object Lessons, you ought to find that phrase and read it. It's really amazing. And so let's continue on here in this study of the eyes of the Lord. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. And so wait a minute, the eyes of the Lord here again are running to and fro in a different section of the Bible? Yes. The Bible describes the eyes of the Lord running to and fro throughout the whole earth. But that doesn't mean his eyes pop out of his head and start, you know, floating around on the earth. That would be kind of freaky. And we know that that's not something that is described naturally. And so, of course, it would be symbolic in the Bible. And so what we have here is the eyes of the Lord. They are seven eyes on the Lamb that are the seven spirits of God sent forth. And according to the Bible in the book of Revelation, the seven spirits are the seven angels. You can see that in Revelation chapter 8, verse 2, if you really want to know and you haven't looked at it yet in chapter or the first presentation, number one out of the three here. We also know that there are eyes on the stone, and they will be with Zerubbabel while he's measuring the temple. We also know that they are going to and fro, as it says in Zechariah, I think it's 3, and talks about those two, in close relation to the angels there. They're the two trees that have branches that are connected to the golden pipes that through them the golden oil is able to fill the candlesticks so that the lamps burn, right? Lamps, let's remember that word too, lamps. Let's continue on in our study as we go here into Job chapter 1. We're going to look now at the idea of to and fro. The Lord said unto Satan, okay, wait a minute, God and Satan are having a discussion? Yes, it was over Job. Job was a faithful man, and the Lord and Satan were having a discussion about this faithful man. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Where did you come from? Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. So here, Satan himself actually said that he goes to and fro in the earth. Now, what is Satan? He's an angel. And so this angel, Satan, is going to and fro in the earth. Now, wait a minute. It said the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth. Yeah, that's right. And it says the eyes of the Lord are those seven eyes are the seven spirits sent forth into all the earth. Wait a minute. So the angels are spirits sent forth into all the earth, according to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14? Yes. If you start putting these things together, you realize that the holy angels, not the evil angels, the holy angels are the ones that are referred to as spirits sent forth. And of course, the seven spirits before the throne are the seven angels before the throne, because the Bible uses angel and spirit synonymously. What's really interesting to me is that we feel very comfortable calling demons evil spirits, but we have really a hard time calling angels holy spirits. Now, I want to be very clear right now. The holy angels or the holy spirits are not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is that of the Father, and it was demonstrated to us through the life of His Son. So if God the Father were to come and be a human, which He didn't, and He won't, He didn't have to, and He will never, but if He did become a human as Jesus, He would have done the same things that Jesus did. Now, we know that Jesus became human. The Father couldn't become human. Jesus became human because He needed to be tempted. God cannot be tempted with evil. God cannot die. And so His Son, taking on human flesh, could be tempted, and He could die. So we have this amazing experience of God the Father sending His Son so that He could be in the likeness of sinful flesh, as it says in Romans 8. And we can see that those spirits, or the spirit that He had, which was of His Father, that same spirit can be received just like the Son received the Spirit from the Father. The angels can receive the Spirit from the Son or and through the Father. And those angels can actually run to and fro throughout the earth knowing the things that God wants them to know because they have His Spirit. There's so much more to talk about in regard to this, but if you want to do an amazing study, go to Genesis chapter 28, verses 11 through 13, and you'll find that the ladder is referred to, and God the Father's on the top of the ladder. Christ is the ladder with His head there at the top reaching unto heaven and His feet there on the earth, and angels are ascending and descending upon that ladder. Why? That's a good question. You ought to ask that question and study and find the answer. So as we continue to go on here in Job chapter 1, we saw that Satan, the angel, goes to and fro. What about chapter 2, verse 2? It says, "The Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? Satan answered the Lord and said," again, as he said in chapter 1, "from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it." And so Satan, again, is an angel going to and fro. Let's see what Zechariah, going back to chapter 1, continues to say about these angels and whether or not they go to and fro. We'll see, as it says there in Zechariah chapter 1, verse 8, "I saw by night, and behold, a man riding upon a red horse. And he stood among the myrtle trees that were in the bottom, and behind him were there red horses. There were speckled horses and white horses." And it says in verse 9, Then said I, "O my Lord, what are these?" And the angel that talked with me, interestingly, it says, the angel that talked with me, this is Zechariah speaking, and an angel had been sent from God upon that ladder ascending up and down to speak with Zechariah. And so Zechariah's attending angel was able to say, "The angel that talked with me said unto me, I will show you what these be." And so here the angel was instructed by God to reveal to Zechariah what he was asking about. I think that's something that can happen with us too. If we have so close a connection with God the Father through His Word, through His Son, through the influence of His Spirit, through the ministration of the angels, I believe those angels can actually instruct us through His Word. And of course, I don't just listen to my voice in my head thinking that those are the angels and they're going to lead me into righteousness. No. But if I'm studying God's Word, and what I'm thinking, what I'm hearing, what revelations come to me are consistent with that Word, I believe those are the angels sent with the Spirit of God to teach me what it is He wants me to know. And He can do that to you too. So these angels are absolutely incredible. The seven eyes. Now notice it. We go to verse 10. "The man that stood among the myrtle trees," remember that was an angel, "he answered and said, These are they whom the Lord hath sent to walk to and fro through the earth." Wait a minute. The angels walk to and fro through the earth, and the Lord hath sent them. Remember, the seven spirits of God which the Lord hath sent into all the earth, and the angels are the spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Same language here. These walk to and fro, just like the angel Satan. He walks to and fro, and just like the angels that the Lord sends, they walk to and fro. So let's continue on and see Zechariah 1, verse 11. "They answered the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees, and they said, We have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth sitteth still and is at rest." Notice what this verse says right here. I'm just learning as I'm reading. They, these horses that were referred to, you later learn those are angels, they have answered the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees. Now, The angel of the Lord many times can refer to Christ. I am 100% sure of that. But at the same time, the angel of the Lord doesn't always refer to Christ. In this case, whether it is Christ or not, I just want to notice that in this verse it says that these, or they, being the angels referred to as horses, they answered the angel of the Lord. So they were giving a report of what they found in the earth. Isn't that interesting? The earth sitteth still and is at rest. Notice verse 12. The angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts. Oh, wait a minute. We saw in verse 11, they answered the angel of the Lord. But in verse 12, the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts. So the angel of the Lord is referring to the Lord of hosts. I do believe that to be Christ. How long will thou not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which thou hast had indignation these 70 years? And you'll notice what happens is the Lord answers, as it says in verse 13, the Lord answered the angel that talked with me with good words and comfortable words. So the Lord is actually comforting the angel with his words, good words and comfortable words. You know, the Bible calls God the Father, the God of all comfort. And God sent the Spirit of Truth, which is another comforter. And so that Spirit of Truth is the Spirit of his Son. According to Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, God hath sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And so the Spirit of his Son brings us comfort. In fact, the Bible calls it the Comforter. I want you to notice something real quick about this Spirit. If you look up the word comforter in the Greek, in my Bible version, I would just right-click and actually search the Greek word, and it would bring up 5 different references. 4 of them are in John, one of them is in 1 John. John wrote this one, this one, this one, this one, and this one. Every one of them was written by John, all 5 of them. He knew what he was talking about, he knew what word he was using, and for some reason the translators translated the one over here in 1 John differently than he translated comforter. He translated it advocate, and the advocate was given a name. That name is Jesus Christ the righteous. The same word every single time is Jesus Christ the righteous, the comforter. And so what's happening is the Lord is speaking to the angel with comforting words. Now the Bible says in John 6:63 that God's words are spirit and life. And so what we can see, according to the Bible, is his word is spirit. His word is life. And those words is how we receive the Spirit of God, and that's how we get comfort. The Spirit of Truth, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. So one of the great ways is by reading God's word. Another way, according to the book of Luke, is we can pray for the Spirit. And the Bible says, just as you, as a father, give good gifts unto your children, your heavenly Father will give good gifts, or the Holy Spirit, to them that ask him. And so we can know that through prayer, through Bible study, through just seeking God and really wanting to know what's true, God gives us his Spirit. So I'm going to go back to our verses now and realize that in Zechariah 6, verse 1, it says, I turned and lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, there came 4 chariots out from between 2 mountains, and the mountains were mountains of brass. 4 chariots. What are chariots according to, we're looking at Zechariah chapter 4, chapter 1, chapter 6, and we're seeing that there's hints of angels that are interacting with the earth and also with Zechariah. But these 4 angels, or sorry, 4 chariots, what does that mean? Notice Psalm 68, verse 17. If you read just the black letters, chariots are angels, and the Lord is among them. Well, let's read it with the white. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels, and the Lord is among them, as he was in Sinai, in the holy place. So according to the Bible, there's in Zechariah 6, there's 4 chariots. These 4 chariots, or these chariots rather, are angels. Let's go to the next verse in Zechariah 6, verse 2. In the first chariot were red horses, and then black horses, and then white horses, and grizzled and bay horses. And so going to verse 4, then I answered and said unto the angel that talked with me, this is Zechariah speaking, what are these, my Lord? And the angel answered and said unto me, these are the 4 spirits of the heavens, which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth. Ha! Okay, so the four spirits are going forth from standing before the Lord. Okay, so the four angels in the book of Revelation chapter 7 are holding back the winds of strife. The four angels are also synonymous with four spirits. Now, according to the Bible there in Zechariah chapter 6, it says these four spirits are standing, going forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth. So the four spirits in the Old Testament are standing before the Lord. The four angels are holding back the winds of strife in the New Testament. We know that there are seven angels standing before the Lord in Revelation chapter 1 and also Revelation 8 verse 2. And these seven spirits, according to Revelation 1, are synonymous with the seven eyes, which are on the Lamb of Revelation 5. And the seven spirits of God, which are the eyes of the Lamb, are sent forth into all the earth. Here, the four spirits standing before the Lord are sent forth into all the earth. And so we have Satan as an angel that is sent forth and going to and fro throughout the earth. The eyes of the Lord are running to and fro throughout the earth. And so when you put all these thoughts together, the to and fro, the angels going to and fro, the spirits going to and fro, all this stuff, we're seeing the ministration of the angels. And I think we're seeing it pretty clearly. And so it's quite fascinating to me that Zechariah continues on, the black horses which are therein go forth into the north country, the white go forth after them, the grizzled go forth toward the south country, and the bay went forth, these are all horses, and sought to go that they might walk to and fro through the earth. So these horses which we saw were angels, these spirits which are angels, because the word spirit and angel is synonymous, they walked to and fro through the earth. So they walked to and fro through the earth. And so according to the book of Zechariah, which I think is one of the clearest books in the Bible, along with the Revelation, showing that the words spirit and angel are synonymous terms in these prophetic books, but also Hebrews 1 verse 7 and also verse 14 just make it really clear. The angels are made spirits by God and they're a flame of fire. And these ministering spirits are sent forth into all the earth. What are they sent forth to do? To minister unto those who are heirs according to God's salvation. And so they're running to and fro in the earth, and they're looking for people to be able to minister to. That's the job of the angels. Now, if you have watched a presentation I've recently done called Cities, Get Out, you can realize in that presentation, angels of God sent into Sodom were personally responsible for saving the soul of Lot from destruction. They tried to save the wife as well, but she had some things in her heart. She still had Sodom in her heart. And so she looked back when she was told not to, and she became a pillar of salt. Lot's daughters were saved, but it was only because the angels laid hands on those people and literally pulled them out of the city. And so angels are involved in our salvation. They are interested in our salvation. They are commanded by God to be sent forth into all the earth upon that ladder, ascending and descending, so that they can be the eyes of the Lord seeking for those who are looking wistfully to heaven. So I find it so amazing that the Bible is teaching this. And for so many years, I've studied the Bible as a pastor, as a teacher. I've been a preacher all over the place. And I have never seen these things until just recently. It's been just a few years that I've been able to see these, and I've been studying so long. And so this is still a very fresh, new, and very beautiful message to me. So now we're going to go and see what the Bible says about flame of fire. So we've already looked at the idea of eyes, flame, fire. I've searched that. I looked at to and fro, and we're going to look now at flame, fire, or flame of fire. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. So we know the angel of the Lord can refer to Christ, right? So this is Moses when he looked and the bush was not consumed. It was because it was the presence of the Lord there, right? Well, notice something interesting in Psalm 104 verse 4. God maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flaming fire. We just saw in Exodus 3 verse 2, that the angel of the Lord was a flame of fire. And we see that God makes his angels spirits, which are flaming fire. Notice something else very interesting here. It says in Acts chapter 7, verse 30, when the 40 years were expired, they're rehearsing the children of Israel's history, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. Now, I do believe that this section right here is talking about Christ, the angel of the Lord, in the bush there in Mount Sinai. But it's interesting how Luke recalled that story. He said it's an angel of the Lord. He didn't say the angel of the Lord. So if somebody really concluded that it was Christ, definitely Christ, through the ministration of an angel, I wouldn't be offended. But just because I can see the connection there. But at the same time, I do believe it could be Christ. It definitely is very possible that it's Christ that is there in the midst of that burning bush, leading his children out of Israel. And at the same time, you can see that all through the history of the sanctuary in the Old Testament, and even the cloud that surrounded the pillar of fire by day and by night, those clouds refer to angels. If you look at the Shekinah glory from whence God the Father speaks to his people, he speaks from between the two cherubim which are on the mercy seat. And so the cherubim are mentioned all the time. The cherubim are etched into the walls of the gold in the sanctuary. They're on the veil as they are broidered within. They're on the mercy seat. And they are referred to in the Bible as the seven spirits that stand before the Lord. And what's interesting about the sanctuary, since we're talking about it, you have the table of showbread with two stacks of bread, right? There's six here and six here. One represents, to me anyways, the Father. One represents the Son. They're both equal. They both have a stack the same height. But there's also something interesting about that table. There are two crowns. One is on the inside, one is on the outside. I believe the inside refers to the crown of his Son, and the outside refers to the crown of the Father. There's like the, it's almost like the kingdom of the Father has been given to the Son, but the Son doesn't rule the Father. The Father rules the Son. You see what I'm saying? So it's like the glory of the Father surrounding both of them, rather than just the glory of each of them being separate. It's the Father's glory that enshrouds the Son. You can see that in Revelation chapter 4, where it's his glory that goes around, and the Lamb comes into his glory and sits upon the throne. And so the glory of the Father actually enshrouds his Son, though they are both glorious, because I do believe they are both my God. Now, because I say that, I feel like I have to explain a little something here. God the Father has no God. The Son has a God. It's the Father. You can see that all through the Bible. But I have God the Father as my God and his Son as my God, because the Father has commanded me to worship the Son. And so they are both my God, but there is only one God that has no God, and that is the Father. So these, the Father and the Son working together, send forth these spirits, or send forth these horses. They send forth the flames of fire, or they send forth these ministering spirits into the earth. Why? Because they ascend and descend upon the only mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. You can see this is the man Christ Jesus in the latter scenario if you go to John 1:51, which we won't do right now, but you can go there if you want. So Hebrews says the same thing as Psalm 104. Of the angels, he saith, he makes his angels spirits, and his ministers are a flame of fire. Now, I want to go through a section real quick. It's in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel really tells very well this idea of the Ezekiel chapter 1. It actually says in verse, just that chapter, that there are four living creatures, okay? These, according to chapter 10, are angels. They're cherubim. These four living creatures in chapter 1, they're not mentioned as cherubim, but they do have the four wings. They have the eyes of they have a face of a man. They have a face of an eagle. They have a face of an ox and the face of a lion. It's the same thing you see in Revelation chapter 4. There's the face of a man, the face of an ox, the face of an eagle, the face of a lion. And so these are synonymous, but in different chapters of the Bible, Revelation and Ezekiel. If you study Ezekiel 1 and Ezekiel 10 together, you realize, wow, these are angels described in great detail. And the way that they work is harmoniously. They work in straight lines. They don't kind of veer to the left or veer to the right. They have a straight and narrow path that they follow. And they work as though it's a wheel within a wheel. It's like God's providence working out all the details of humanity using these ministering spirits called angels. And so we're going to go and look at Ezekiel chapter 1 real quick and find that in verse 4, I looked and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud. And it was like a fire enfolding itself. Wait a minute, we know that the flames of fire are the angels, right? Notice, a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. And so amber is the color of fire. Fire is in the midst of this whirlwind kind of enfolding itself. Sounds like a chaotic storm. And this is what is introducing the idea of these ministering angels. It says in verse 5, out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. So out of the midst of this tempestuous storm of fire comes these four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Interestingly, we have been made in the image of God, and these angels have a likeness of man. So it seems to me when we get to heaven, we're going to be able to look around and not see these crazy creatures that look all different with different, you know, strange heads and everything. And we kind of have a similar likeness. We're going to notice that we look like God the Father. We look like the Son of God. We look like each other. We're going to look like the angels. Now, I can't say that we all are identical, not at all, but we have a likeness. We were made in the image of God. And we can see, according to the Bible, he has hair, he has eyes, he has a nose, he has arms, he has legs, he has feet, he has a back. I mean, all these things God has in the Bible. And so we have the same thing, eyes and ears and hands and arms and legs and ankles and feet. And so God is very similar to his creatures because he has created them that way. We can see that according to Ezekiel chapter 1, that angels are in the likeness of a man. Now, it says in verse 6, everyone had four faces. And everyone had four wings. Notice it says in verse 7 toward the end, their feet were straight feet, and the soles of their feet were like the soles of a calf's foot. And they sparkled, how? Like the color of burnished brass. Whoa, wait a minute. They too have feet that are like brass? I thought that Jesus in Revelation chapter 1 had feet that was like fine brass. Well, yes. Here's why. It's because the sanctuary tells us that in the Old Testament, well, yeah, in the Old Testament, in the sanctuary, it tells us that all of the outer court, which that's like the outside of the temple itself, the outer court, it was furnished with furniture that was all made of brass, every bit of it. Why? Because it refers to the earthly ministry. And God the Father is not made of brass. You can't find anything of him of brass, but you can find of the Son, he has feet like the feet of brass. Why? Because his feet were on the earth during that time of the outer court experience. And the angels are sent from God to heaven, according to that illustration and the vision of Jacob. They are ascending and descending upon the Son of Man, and they have feet like fine brass too. Why? Because they are here on the earth. And so these angels and Christ, Christ and the angels, for God the Father in heaven, are doing ministry here on the earth for those that are seeking for salvation. And so you can see, for example, in Genesis chapter 18, that the Lord himself came down and was walking on this earth before he even became a man to save man. You know, of course, in this scenario, it was Abram, Lot, and his daughters, and tried to save his wife, but that didn't work out so well because of what was in her heart. And so you can see that the angels and Christ both have brazen feet, and it's because they do ministry on this earth. So as we go on to see that they have four wings, they have four faces, and they have feet like brass, it says in verse 8, they had hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another, kind of like in the sanctuary. They turned not when they went. They went everyone straight forward, a straight and narrow path. Verse 10. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, a lion, an ox, and an eagle. Verse 11. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of everyone were joined to one another, kind of like in the sanctuary, and two, they covered their bodies. Verse 12. They went everyone straight forward, just on that straight and narrow path, whither the Spirit of God was to go, they went. In other words, God wanted them to go to the left, they went to the left. When they were to go up, they went up. They turned not when they went. It says in verse 13, as for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like, wait a minute, burning coals of fire? Yep, just as it says, the eyes as a flame of fire, and like the appearance of lamps. Wait a minute. I thought the Bible said the seven spirits are seven lamps of fire. That's right. It says that in Revelation chapter 4. And guess what? The angels are the likeness of lamps of fire. It went up and down among the living creatures. Why up and down? Because they're ascending and descending. And the fire was bright, because remember, they're flames of fire. And out of the fire went forth lightning. Many times in the book of Revelation, lightning is referred to. And here it talks about them going up. You'll read it in just a moment. They go up and down as lightning. They don't go up as lightning and down as lightning. Up and down as lightning. So they are really fast. If you want to know how fast they are, Daniel started praying in chapter 9. And the angel comes, and toward the end of his prayer, probably waiting for him to finish, he taps him on the shoulder and says, "When you started praying, I was told to come down here. Now I'm about to reveal to you some of the things that you were praying about." And so those angels can come down immediately as you pray. In fact, it seems to me that they waft away the darkness that the evil spirits will bring, and they're able to offer you the presence of the Lord, the influence of the Spirit of God. And so I do believe angels are extremely powerful. That's why God sent angels to his Son when Christ was in the wilderness of temptation of Matthew chapter 4. That's also why God sent angels to his Son when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, pressed upon so much to where he was almost about to die. God sent angels to him at that time in Luke chapter, I think it's 22. I'd have to look again, but I think that's correct. So these angels are like flames of fire. They're like lamps. They are like lightning. It says in verse 14, "And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning." So there's going up and down really fast. But the whole reality of this situation is that we have seen the eyes as a flame of fire. In fact, you can see that in our graphic here to show that we're about to close this message. But the eyes as a flame of fire, according to Revelation 1:14, is symbolic of the angels made as a flame of fire. And these flames of fire are the seven lamps, which are the seven spirits of God. And the seven spirits of God are the ones that are angels standing before the Lord on his throne, and they're sent forth into all the earth. You can see the connection between those angels going to and fro through the earth. They're ascending and descending upon the Son of Man, or the latter in the vision, and the seven spirits, or the spirits of God being sent forth. It's all connecting together as the ministration of the angels. So now, with the Lord having eyes as the flame of fire, what does that mean? Well, it means that he sees everything you do. Why? Because angels are ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Matthew 18 says, "Angels of these little children see the face of Christ's Father every moment, every day." And so every day the angels are ascending and descending with messages of assurance and comfort and love. And they want to bear these things to you. When you pray, God sends his angels. You can see that in Psalm 91. It says that he, God the Father, will give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. And so God has these angels taking record of everything you do. And here's the reason why. Because there's what's called a judgment, okay? There's the judgment of the dead and of the living, according to Timothy. Every work that you do, according to Paul and Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, it will come up in the judgment, everything you do. And it's because angels are recording everything you do, what you're thinking right now, because they do read your motives, what you did yesterday, what you were doing, what you will do. They know everything. They calculate every single thing. They write it down. And the reason being is, if God were to show up in the judgment and say, "You are condemned for what you did because I say so," the righteous would be like, "Whoa, Lord, that's not really fair. I mean, we don't know exactly what happened. I mean, can't there be another witness?" And if the Lord said, "You are saved because I say so," the enemy would say, "Whoa, that's not fair. I've seen this guy sin, but I don't know what kind of things he did." So even with God, everything shall be established by the mouth of two or three witnesses. And so angels are the witnesses. For example, look at Daniel chapter 7. In your mind, go there and realize that the Ancient of Days, God the Father, is seated on the throne. And he is there, seated amidst thousands and ten thousands of angels. What are the angels there for? They are witnesses. Why are they witnesses? Because they saw firsthand on this earth. Remember, their feet are like fine brass. They were able to see firsthand what he did, what he did, didn't do, what he said. They knew what he felt, his actions, his thoughts, his words, his grumbling, all those things these angels know about. And so what we face in the future will be our decisions based on the records that angels take of all the actions you do, because everything will be established by the mouth of two or three witnesses. And so the coming judgment will tell who we spend our time with in a spiritual realm. Do I like the influence of the Spirit of God telling me, you know, the Bible says God told you in His Word, you know, you prayed about that. Yeah, you should do this, you shouldn't. And those encouragements, those guidance, those voices that tell you when you turn to the right or to the left, go this way. If you don't like that so much and you want to just think of your own thoughts, I want this, I want that, that's what I want, that's what I like, you're probably listening to the wrong spirit. Okay, so based upon what you care to spend your time with and the influences you like to spend your time with will probably determine what's going to be written in the books about you. And so if we spend time in God's Word and we're pleading for His Spirit to be with us, God's Word is Spirit and the angels are spirits. They are holy. They bring the influence of the Spirit of God. And we can be on this earth as though we're in the atmosphere of heaven when we're surrounded with God's Word, His angels, His people, the beauty of nature. That's why that city message was so important, because nature draws our hearts and minds out toward God. And so all these things put together help me to understand that Christ is seeing with purity, because fire actually purifies stuff according to the Bible. So God is seeing, or Christ is seeing purely through His eyes as they are a flame of fire, as though they are a flame of fire. What are these flames of fire? I totally believe it's the ministration of the angels. And so, could God and Christ see everything without the angels? Hey, I wouldn't be surprised if they could. I'm not saying they can't. But what has been revealed is that God uses angels. And so I can bank on the fact that God is able to see everything through the ministration of the angels. Whether He sees everything on His own or not, I am not certain. He probably can. He is God. But this is something that I'm sure of here. And so, for example, if you go to Psalm 139, a lot of people bring this one up. Like, where shall I flee from Thy Spirit? Where will I go from Thy presence? Well, look at that section. Read the first several verses and find how God sees everything. It's through knowledge, through understanding, through contemplating, through the intelligences that are referred to. It's through knowing. And so, how does He know? Good question. Angels are ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. So, I don't know. I don't want to limit God, but I want to find and understand and follow that which is revealed. And if God reveals more to me through you, or perhaps my own personal study, I will certainly believe that and teach it. So, I'm thankful that we've had this time together. I'm grateful that God has blessed us with the opportunity to study together. And I praise God for the blessings of His Word, helping us to understand a little bit more of what His Spirit is saying to the churches. So thank you for your time, and let's commit ourselves to God, to His Word, and also to His Son, of course, but also to the ministration of the angels. You're like, no, I don't want that. Wait a minute. God will give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. I want God's angels to have charge over me. I want them to be near me. I hope you do too. So let's pray and ask for God's blessings in this regard, okay? I'm going to kneel if you would like to. Holy Father, thank you for giving us this time. I do pray that you bless us as we contemplate more about what it is that your Spirit is saying to the churches. I thank you for the ministration of the angels that we've been able to see. There's a lot of connections, and perhaps much information was covered without some things being clarified, but help us all to study this subject on our own. Help us to know what it is that you're saying and to be able to understand and believe it and to be benefited by it. You're not revealing these things just for the sake of revealing them. You are revealing this to us because there is a battle between your Son and Satan, and both of them use angels to do ministry. So we pray that you'd help us to yield ourselves to the influence of your Spirit through the ministration of your holy angels. We thank you for this, asking your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.